We are talking about finding God's will for your life. And this is my adaptation from Guidance and Wisdom by J.I. Packer. My wife said she, when I mentioned her he had a bad end, she started looking him up on Google or something, and found that he actually joined, what was it, Episcopalian Church?
Yeah.
And, or do you remember? But then he got out of that.
Maybe it was Anglican.
Oh, yeah, okay. About the same. The American is the Episcopal and the British is the Anglican. About the same thing. Which is just the British form of Roman Catholicism, if you remember. Something about being reformed makes you say, well, doesn't have to be a lot of difference between us and them. You know, I don't know. But anyway, it was a good book and well worth our study. So we were talking about God is our guide, that God can and does guide, and that we should be seeking divine guidance. We've been talking about believers often seek guidance in the wrong way, the common mistake in terminology, two features of vocational choices, two mistakes often made, basically overgeneralizing. Five, correcting the mistake. The fundamental method of finding God's guidance uses rational understanding and rational application of his word. And then God honoring guidance comes from honoring his holy scriptures. Then again, the basic form of divine guidance is following what God says, and then the limits of inward guidance. There is a prompting, there is a leading of the Spirit. There is something that says, I feel like I ought to do this. But the limits are bounded by the word of God. He will never lead you contrary to his word. So moving on, we come to point C, failing to obtain guidance, six pitfalls. So a pitfall is a pit that you might fall into. So don't step into these pits. First of all, the unwillingness to think. Always seems like a bad idea, unwillingness to think. Listen to some verses. Deuteronomy 4:39. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon earth beneath, there is none else. You catch the idea? Knowing, considering. This is thinking about what God says. Deuteronomy 8:5. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart, that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 7, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Many generations is generation and generation in the Hebrew. But you get the idea, that's the way they would say it. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, the elders, and they will tell thee, asking wisdom from those who have walked on before. So consider the years of many generations. This is thinking about these things, taking the testimonies into consideration. So a second pitfall is the unwillingness to think ahead or to plan ahead. Deuteronomy 32:29. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. It hooked on these videos called Fail Army. And you see these people doing all these reckless things and wrecking at the end of it. And you say, I don't think they were really planning on this. They weren't thinking ahead. The third pitfall is unwillingness to take advice. Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Who are you listening to? Who are you taking advice from? I have had couples come to me saying, we need marriage counseling, and we think we should probably just break up because all of our friends have told us we should. Well, some friends. Why do you think they would know better? And you know what happens is that you're complaining about your husband, and your friend says you ought to leave him. They're just thinking, they're saying what you want to hear. It's not really a valid thing. Don't listen to that. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, the wicked. Listen to Psalm 119:24. Thy testimonies also are my delight. Whose testimonies? God's testimonies, you see. And my counselors, men, my counselors, men of my counsel. So gather the people that you ask carefully, looking at their testimonies. Proverbs 12:5, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Sounds like asking for wise advice, counsel from wise people. Proverbs 19:20, hear counsel, receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Proverbs 20, verse 5. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water. And this is how you ask people for counsel. He says, the counsel is in the heart of man, but it's like deep water. But a man of understanding, you who are asking, will draw it out. See, you ask until you can get the right answer. Proverbs 20, verse 18. Every purpose that you might have is established by counsel, and with good advice, make war. Not a good idea to say, we ought to go. Okay, let's go. You know, just don't go to war, even with your neighbor. And then Proverbs 27:9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Hearty counsel, the Hebrew, from the counsel of the soul. Counsel from deep inside. So do not hesitate to ask counsel. There's an idea about, oh, I'm just following the will of God. I've been led in my heart. And everybody says, that's not a great idea. Ask for counsel. The fourth pit is unwillingness to suspect one's own heart. And of course, our key verse is Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So all the people tell you to first follow your heart. They have no idea about the heart. Two things. It's deceitful. It will fool you. But it's also desperately wicked. It's going to lead you, fool you, to go in a bad way. I don't know the man, but O.R. Barclay, a biologist and a theologian, wrote in the magazine Guidance, the joy and general sense of well-being that often, but not always, goes with being in love. Loving, in a biblical sense, is very different from being in love. He says that this sense of well-being that often goes with being in love can easily silence conscience and inhibit critical thinking. How often people say that they feel led to get married, and probably they will say the Lord has so clearly guided, when all they are really describing is a particularly novel state of endocrine balance which makes them feel extremely sanguine and happy. I'm feeling in love. And you hear people say that, and you're saying, I don't think this is love. I think this is just that happy feeling of being that person. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go to the extent of stealing babies out of hospitals. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had to counsel women who were going to get married because they thought they could help this guy. Maternal instinct. Don't marry him to be his mother. It's not going to work. The fifth pit to avoid, unwillingness to discount personal magnetism. I was thinking just on the way to school today, First Corinthians dealing with wisdom of the world, that they trained to be able to persuade people. An entire philosophy that was dedicated to how to speech, how to gain your speech, and this was deeply studied. And the Apostle Paul said, I very consciously decided not to go that way with you people, because you know what that's all about, but you don't know the power of the Holy Spirit. And it just rang little bells in my memories of all the people who said, well, a lot of people just come to hear me preach. I have a way, you know. And the charismatic in the non-theological term, the people who are make followers easily, that are quite persuasive, they can say many things that aren't true, but people just love to hear them. And they said it so well. Personal magnetism. Recognize there is such a thing and discount it. In Galatians 1:8, but though we, the apostle says, we, the missionary team, or an angel from heaven, how impressive would that be? Boom, there he is in front of you, glowing, floating perhaps. Touch of a metallic halo, I don't know. Or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. You would say to the face of this angel who is telling you wrong doctrine, you are wrong and you are cursed of God. You have to be able to say, I don't care how well you said it. I don't care how impressive you are. Again, 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove, this is put to the test, all things, hold fast that which is good, sift it, find the good, keep it, throw the rest away. What the guy looks like, what the guy sounds like, is he a heartthrob, is she a gorgeous person, just discount this. That's not part of the message. It could be part of the trap. And the last pit to avoid that we'll talk about is unwillingness to wait. We don't like that, do we? I want what I want when I want it. And I can't just wait. I have to do something. Well, that's probably a bad idea. You see. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Ask God in prayer to take care of things and then wait till you see things change. Psalm 37:34, wait on the Lord and keep his way. I once said to Matthew Forston, I hadn't planned to say it, but he took it up and has repeated it to me from time to time. And because he was asking, what is the next thing I ought to do? He was asking about the will of God. And I said, for sure, do the next right thing. Do the next thing that you know you ought to do. That's the step you take. And there, perhaps, God will reveal more of his will. If not, take another step. Do the next right thing. And you're on sure ground. You're not walking off the edge of the canal. Keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off, and thou shalt see it. And then finally, Proverbs 20, verse 22. Say not thou, I will recompense evil. He's not going to get away with it. She's not going to get away with it. I will recompense evil. But wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee, shall deliver thee. He'll take care of that. So, pitfalls to avoid. Always a good idea to avoid pitfalls, in my experience. Found myself in some pits and said, how did I get here? You fell.